Good morning. It is good to be together on the Lord's Day. We are thankful for your presence. If you're visiting with us at the Willow Avenue congregation, we want you to know that we are so very glad that you are here. We will meet again tonight at 6 o'clock, and we hope you will join us at that time. Not long ago, I received a phone call from a lady who had watched a lesson that I had done on the subject of baptism. It was very obvious from the very beginning of the call that she was angry, and she was wasting no time letting me know about it. And so she began by saying, well, the thief on the cross, he wasn't baptized, and he was saved. And so I spent some time, and I answered that. And I think when that was thoroughly answered, she moved on to her next argument. And she said, well, Ephesians 2 and verse 8 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of works. And she really hammered that. She said, the Bible says we're saved by faith, not of works, and baptism is a work. A week or so after that, I had a phone call, and the man was also convinced that we're saved at the point of faith only, but he used a different passage. His passage was Romans chapter 4 and verse 6. For what does the Scripture say? Abraham believed God. He hammered that. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Still another man. I was working at GBN one day, and he called, and the secretary put him through to me. He argued that baptism is not necessary for salvation because of Galatians 2:26, where the Bible says, knowing that a man is not justified by works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ. And he drilled that, not justified by works, but by faith. And of course, there's always going to be those who fall back to John 3:16, because it is a favorite, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall have everlasting life. And it will be asserted, all you have to do is believe. He doesn't say he who believes and is baptized, but whoever believes in him. Now, my question for you this morning is this. What do you say when people, if you're studying with someone and they make an argument like some of these that I have just listed? Brethren, it is important that we understand these concepts and that we know how to answer them. We've been talking on Sunday nights about evangelism and how to reach out and teach people. Very frequently, as you're teaching someone the plan of salvation, you're going to run into these things. Do you know how to answer them? All right. This is what we're going to do this morning. I want to start, let's go to the first slide here. We're going to begin this morning by defining our terms. Because when you're having discussions like this, oftentimes disagreements will arise simply because we haven't properly defined the terms that we're using. For example, one person may say faith, and they're talking about belief, and somebody else says faith, and they're talking about the faith, the gospel system of faith. Now, both of these are biblical usages of the term, but you can appreciate how frustrating and confusing this is going to be when you're using the same word, but you're using it in two different ways. And so we're going to begin by defining the word faith. The word faith is used in at least three different ways in the Bible. First, sometimes the word faith simply means belief. For example, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6 says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him." Secondly, the word faith sometimes refers to the faith. And sometimes it will even have the definite article, the. When the Bible speaks of faith in this sense, it refers to the system or practice of religion that is approved by God. It is Christianity. It is the faith. An example of this is Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 5, where the Bible says, there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism. That is one system of religion. Thirdly, the word faith is sometimes used to refer to personal conviction or matters of conscience. For example, in Romans 14 and verse 23, the Bible says, "But he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because he does not eat from faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin." This is talking about a matter of personal conscience. This is not faith in the gospel system. This is not the faith. Sometimes we might say scruples, but three different usage. All right, let's go to the next slide. Let's also define the word works. The word works is used in different ways in the Bible. Now listen to what I'm about to say. If you don't get this one right, it is going to cause tremendous difficulty and confusion when you're studying with people, and you will not be able to explain some verses. There are at least three different types of works described in the Bible. There are works of the law of Moses, there are works of personal merit, and there are works of obedience. So I'm going to give you some verses in just a minute, but I want to begin by proving the fact that there are different types of works. For example, listen to this one. In Romans chapter 4, 1 through 4, the Bible specifically says that Abraham was not justified by works, but by belief. And the passage that's referenced is a passage about Abraham in the Old Testament, Genesis chapter 15 and verse 6. It says, Abraham was not justified by works, but by faith. However, in James chapter 2 and verse 21, the Bible specifically says Abraham was justified by works. Now, how do you explain the difference in that? You've got one passage, Romans 4, says Abraham was not justified by works. James 2 says Abraham was justified by works. Now somebody says, well, Don, obviously he's talking about two different instances. He's not. Both of these passages reference Genesis 15 and verse 6. So why does one say he was justified by works? The other says he wasn't. Brethren, when you understand the fact that there are different types of works described in the Bible, then this becomes very simple. In Romans chapter 4, he is talking about the fact that Abraham is not saved by works of the law of Moses. Specifically, he cites circumcision. James chapter 2 is discussing works of obedience. James is discussing the difference of a living faith and a dying faith. And he says, faith that lacks works of obedience is a dead faith. James 2:26. Works of the law of Moses don't save you. Works of obedience do save you. All right, let's go to the third term. Next slide. This is grace. The word grace, likewise, is used in different ways in the Bible. Typically, we define grace as unmerited favor, and that's a good definition. But there are other ways that this word is also used. For example, sometimes you will read about the grace of God. Like Luke chapter 2 and verse 42 says, the grace of God was upon Jesus. Well, that's not saving grace. Jesus wasn't lost. He didn't need to be saved. It's a different usage of this. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 6 says, let your speech be always with grace. Again, that's not saving grace. This relates to the kindness with which we are to address other individuals with our words. Thirdly, of course, the most common is salvation. Titus chapter 3 and verse 7 says, we are justified by His grace. And brethren, the Bible is filled with the subject of grace. 160 times in the Bible you will find the word grace, not to mention its derivatives such as gracious and graciousness. 38 times in the Old Testament, 122 times in the New Testament, you're going to find the word grace. But listen to this, because this is very important. God's grace is not mere passive pity. Now, what do I mean by that? Grace is more than just something in the mind of God. Grace is operative. Grace is active. What do I mean? I mean God's grace does something. What does God's grace do? John 1 and verse 17 says, the law was given through Moses, but grace came through Jesus Christ. We are saved by grace, but how are we saved by grace? God just didn't have a feeling of grace. God's grace had to do something. What does John 1:17 say? God's grace caused Him to send Jesus Christ to this earth. Because of God's grace, Jesus lived 33 years and resisted temptation. Because of God's grace, Jesus died on the cross and suffered for us. All of that is God's grace. It was active. Keep that in your mind. It's going to be very important. I'm going to tell you why in just a minute. All right, here's the third point of the lesson. I want you to appreciate with me that all three of these things, grace, faith, and works, all three are involved in our salvation. Now, to prove that, we're going to look at Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9. Ephesians 2 and verse 8 says, for by grace, that's God's part, that's Jesus dying on the cross. When you hear the grace of God, think about Jesus dying on the cross. For by grace you have been saved through faith. That's our part, that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, brethren, I learned from this passage that there are two sides to salvation. Number one, there is the divine side. Number two, there is the human side. The divine side is grace. The human side is faith. Now again, appreciate with me that the divine side is operative. It is grace that sent Jesus Christ, 1:17. It is grace by which Jesus was crucified for us, Titus 3 and verse 7. But this is why this is important. You need to appreciate also that faith, our side, must also be operative. If God had had grace in His heart but did nothing, it would not have saved us. If we have faith in our minds but it does nothing, it will not save us. For instance, Romans 16 and verse 26 speaks about the obedience of faith. Galatians 5 and verse 6 talks about faith which works by love. What is the point? Faith works. Faith obeys. Faith has to be operative. It's the reason that Acts chapter 8 and verse 12 says, but when they believed Philip, that is, they had faith, when they believed Philip concerning the things concerning the kingdom of God, the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized. Why does it read that way? When they believed, they were baptized because their faith was operative. It wasn't just mere mental assent. You see, the religious world teaches us all you have to do is believe. Just mental assent. Just feel it in your heart and you're going to be saved. The Bible never teaches that. In fact, there's an example in John 12:42 of some people who tried to practice it that way. They had faith in their heart, but they never turned it into action, and they're lost. John 12:42 says, nevertheless, amongst the chief rulers, many believed in Him, that is, they had faith, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess Him, lest they be put out of the synagogue, for they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. The Bible says they believed, but it stopped right there. It was not active. It was not operative, and therefore it was not saving faith. And so Ephesians 2 and verse 8 says this, for by grace you have been saved. That's God's part. He sent His Son. He was crucified for us. It was operative. For by grace you've been saved through faith. That is our part. It too must be operative. It must express itself in obedience. That is the reason that James 2:26 says, faith without works is dead. In fact, in Ephesians 2:8, for by grace you've been saved through faith. Next to the word faith, you can write James 2:26, faith without works is dead. And the next time someone takes you to this passage and says, see, we are saved by faith, you take them to James 2:26 and say, faith without works is dead. It's interesting to me that people commonly go to Ephesians 2:8 to teach exactly the opposite of this. And this is the way they will use it. Maybe you're teaching them about the subject of baptism, and you say a person has to be baptized to be saved, and they'll say, no, no, no. You don't have to be baptized to be saved. Ephesians 2 and verse 8 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourselves, not of works, lest any man should boast. And they'll say, see, it says faith. It says not of works, and baptism is a work. Anybody ever heard? Let me see your hands if someone's ever said that to you. We are saved by faith, not baptism. Baptism is a work. I see several hands that have encountered that. How do you respond to that? When someone says, it's not of works and baptism is a work. Here's how you answer this. The first thing that you need to understand is there are different types of works in the Bible. We've already talked about that. There's one type of work that did not save Abraham, Romans 4. There's another type of work that did save Abraham in James chapter 2. So the first thing we must ask when we look at Ephesians chapter 2 is what type of work is being discussed? Now remember, there's three types. The law of Moses does not save. Works of personal merit do not save. Works of obedience do save. That's James 2:26. And so, really, he answers for us what type of work he's talking about in the very next phrase, because he says, not of works, lest any man should boast. That is, works of personal merit will not save you. But you know what? That doesn't preclude baptism. Works of personal merit don't preclude baptism. Put a peg down there and let me take a little excursion with you for a minute. Have you thought about the fact, I think it's very interesting, that baptism is not something that we do. Out of all of the steps of the plan of salvation, all of the rest of them are things that we do. When we hear, we do that. We believe, we do that. We repent, we do it. We confess, we do it. But baptism is not something that you do. Baptism is passive. Baptism is something that is done to you. The Bible says to be baptized. Baptism is actually something that you submit to. That's why it is written in the passive form. We are to be baptized. People want to say it's a work, it's something that you do. This is something that you submit to. God said to do it, and you submit to what God said. But here's another thing that's interesting. People argue against baptism on the basis of Ephesians 2:8 because they will say, baptism is a work. We are saved by faith, not by works. Did you realize that faith is actually described in the Bible as a work? They say we're saved by faith, not by works, but the Bible says faith is a work. I brought that up to a person in a study not long ago, and I said, faith is a work. He said, where? Where does the Bible say that? Here it is. And John chapter 6 and verse 28, the people asked Jesus, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? John 6:29, Jesus said, this is the work of God, that you believe in Him whom He has sent. Jesus said belief is a work. Now, I've had people try to squirm out of this. I remember a man said, well, Don, that says that belief is the work of God. But notice, Jesus said, this is the work that God would have you to do, and that is to believe. Faith is a work. So what's the point? Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8 does not forbid works of obedience that God requires. It does not forbid baptism. All right. Our point is this. Grace, faith, and works of obedience are all involved in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. All right. I want to go to the third point. You got to listen closely for this one. This takes some logic and some reasoning. In recent years, I have heard some preachers, even preachers in the Lord's church, and they will say something like this. They will say, what we do has little or nothing to do with salvation because salvation comes from the grace of God alone. And it's kind of a cliffhanger. It makes us think faith only, grace only. But I want you to follow me on this. This takes some logic and some reasoning. Titus chapter 2 and verse 11 says this. The grace of God, which brings salvation, has appeared unto all men. The grace, which brings salvation, has appeared unto all men. Grace, all men. Now, what does that mean? If God's grace brings salvation and it has appeared to all men, would it not follow that all men are going to be saved? Grace appeared to all men. If it's grace only, that all men would have been saved. But you see, the problem with that is not all men are going to be saved. Because Matthew chapter 7 and verse 14 says that broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be, in fact, most of the world is going to be lost. It's a sad statement, but it's a true statement. Now somebody says, Don, how do you reconcile that? I'm confused because if the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, why is it that not all men are going to be saved? Let's talk about the word grace for a minute and explain how grace works. In Genesis chapter 6, you will find the first occurrence of the word grace in the Bible is Genesis chapter 6 and verse 8. The Bible says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now here's the question. What did grace do for Noah? Here's what grace did for Noah. Grace came to Noah and said, Noah, I want you to build an ark. I'm going to destroy the world, but I'm going to tell you what to do. He said, I want you to build an ark. Build it out of gopher wood, a window, a door. Pitch it within and without, 30 cubits, 50 cubits, 300 cubits. Build it to these specifications. And the last verse of Genesis chapter 6 says, thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him. But wait a minute. This is what I want you to get. The Bible says Noah was saved by grace. If Noah was saved by grace, then why was he building an ark? Why did he have a hammer? Why did he have a saw? Why was he doing something? What if Noah had said this, well, Lord, I know you're saving me by your grace, and so I'm not going to build an ark. I'm not going to negate your grace. I'm not going to try to imply that I'm saving myself by works because you're saving me by your grace, and so I'm not going to do anything. You see, God saved Noah by His grace when Noah obeyed Him. Friends, the same thing is true today. What do you call Noah building an ark? You call it faith. Hebrews chapter 11 says it was faith that saved him when he built an ark. And so you have grace, you have faith, and you have works of obedience that saved Moses. Same thing's true of us. Ephesians 2 and verse 8, grace, faith, and works. All right, let's go to the next slide. I want to go through some passages, four or five passages that people frequently use to teach faith only, and then I'm going to wrap up the lesson. All right, here's number one. Romans chapter 4 and verse 3. I want you to pretend that you're in a Bible study and your friend brings this passage up to you, and I want you to think about what you're going to say to your friend. Imagine this. Your friend says, well, the Scripture says Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. How do you answer that? Abraham believed God. They frequently will use this to teach faith only. Abraham believed God. And sometimes they'll really drive it home with verse 5. Two verses later, it says, but to him who does not work, but believes on him, his faith is accounted for righteousness. How do you answer that? But to him who does not work, his faith is accounted to righteousness. Brethren, what's the meaning and explanation of this passage? Is this passage teaching salvation by faith without any type of works? The first thing that I would do is I would remind you and remind your friend that this same incident that's mentioned in Romans 4 is also mentioned in James chapter 2 and verse 21 when it says, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? Do you not see how faith was working together with his works, and by works faith is made perfect? So I would point out to my friend, it is not all works being condemned in Romans chapter 4. In fact, if you will study the context of Romans chapter 4, you will learn that it's works of the law of Moses that are condemned, not works of obedience. Let's go to the next slide. Sometimes people will go to James 2:16. In fact, I did a Google search. I searched this phrase, verses that prove faith only. I wanted to see what passages people believe prove faith only. This was listed as the number one passage. James 2:26, knowing that a man is not justified by works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Christ. So what does this say? Knowing that a man is not justified by works, but by faith. I've had people drill this. When you're in a study and somebody says this to you, how do you answer? Brethren, if you will study the context, you will see the type of works being discussed here are works of the law of Moses. In fact, to prove it, you can look at the two previous verses, Galatians 2:14 and Galatians 2:15. He's discussing the fact that the Jews in the New Testament were trying to compel the Gentiles to follow the law of Moses. And he's telling them, works of the law of Moses can't save you. It's obedience to the faith of Jesus Christ. Let's go to the next slide. John 3:16. Sometimes people will go to this one, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This passage is frequently used to refute the necessity of baptism to salvation, and the argument they will make is this. They will say, see, whoever believes will have everlasting life. How do you answer that? What do you say when your friend hits you with this? Would you observe with me that just 11 verses prior to John 3:16 is John 3 and verse 5. In John 3:5, Jesus said, except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. 60 seconds later, he says, whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. I know that between John 3:5 and John 3:16 actually takes 61 seconds because I read it and I timed it. When Jesus said, whosoever believeth in him shall have everlasting life, the question is, believes what? We can't ignore what he said 60 seconds prior. He said, you've got to be born of water and the Spirit. And then he said, if you believe this, you will not perish. Believe what? What he just got through saying, to be born of water and the Spirit means to obey the Holy Spirit and to be baptized in water. And that if you believe him, you will not perish. Next to the word believe in John 3:16, write James 2:26. Faith without works is dead. What works is he talking about? What he just mentioned in John 3:5. If you go 20 verses after this, and you get to John 3:36, this is what he says. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life. He who does not believe in the Son shall not see life. Now in the English, this is the same word. He who believes and he who believes not. In the Greek, it's two different words. He who believes is a word that indicates in the Greek faith and mental assent. The second word, believes, in the Greek is a word that carries with it obedience. And so literally what he's saying, and the way some versions translate it, is this. The ESV says, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. He who does not obey the Son shall not see life. So what's the summary of John chapter 3? John 3:5, he says you've got to obey the Spirit and be baptized in order to be saved. John 3:16, he said, if you believe me, you shall not perish. And then he says, if you don't obey, you will perish. You put John 3 in a package, you can't pull John 3:16 out of the context of the chapter. Let's go to the next one. Acts 16:31. This is the Philippian jailer. People love to go to Acts 16:31, where the Philippian jailer, we're told, so they, Paul and Silas, said to the jailer, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved and your household. It said, Paul told him to believe, and he would be saved. People pull that one verse out, and they focus on it, and they hammer it. And at this point, I would point out to a person, if you understand the concept of obedient faith, you're not going to have a problem with this. Next to Acts 16:31, believe on the Lord. Next to the word believe, write James 2:26. Faith without works is dead. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Keep reading. In verse 31, he says, believe and you'll be saved. Believe what? The next verse says, then they spoke unto him the word of the Lord and to all who were in his house, and he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes, and immediately he and his family were baptized. And so he's told first to believe, and then he's told what to believe, and then immediately he is baptized. But brethren, you got to get this. This is the next verse, and it's really important. Sometimes we skip this when we read it. Acts 16:34 says this, now, after the baptism, now he had brought them into his house, and he set food before them, and he rejoiced, having believed in God with all of his house. After his baptism, the Bible says, having believed in God. Having believed is a perfect tense participle denoting the completion of a process. What that means is, his faith wasn't real faith until it was obedient faith. After he was baptized, the Bible says, now having believed in God. Now, what's the point of that? Faith includes obedience, specifically here, baptism. I'm going to do one more and I'm going to wrap up. I'm knowing I'm going along. Let's go to the next slide. Titus chapter 3 and verse 5. Sometimes people will say this, it's not by works of righteousness that we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. What do they say? It's not by works of righteousness we have done. We don't do anything, but by his mercy, he saved us. I want you to notice three passages here, because when you look at three passages that are parallel, it helps you understand them better. Titus 3:5, Ephesians 5:26, and John 3:5 all teach the same thing. The first one teaches how to be saved. The second one teaches how to be cleansed. The third one teaches how to become a part of the kingdom. Those all mean the same thing. Titus 3:5 says you have to do two things. Ephesians 5:26 says you have to do two things. John 3:5 says you have to do two things. What are they? They're going to be equivalent because they all equal the same thing. Titus 3 and verse 5 mentions the washing of regeneration. Notice Ephesians 5:26 says the washing of water. Now what's the washing of water? It's the same thing as the washing of regeneration. John 3:5 mentions being born of the water. Those are all the same. Being born of the water, washing of regeneration. That's baptism. Notice the second thing, the renewing of the Holy Spirit, the Word, and being born of the Spirit. Now, when you understand that Ephesians 6:17 says that the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God, how does the Spirit work? Through the Word of God. That's why we are told to be born of the Spirit is the same as being born of the Word, and it's the same as being renewed by the Holy Spirit. So what does Titus 3 and verse 5 say? People say that it teaches not by works of righteousness, but by His mercy. In other words, we don't do anything. He saves us by His mercy. What does it actually teach? God saves us by His mercy when, it says, we have the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. In other words, when I obey the teaching of the Holy Spirit and I am washed in the waters of baptism, God saves me. All right, I'm going to wrap it up. The grace of God that saves man was extended through the death of Jesus Christ. That grace was active grace. It was active when Jesus died for us, and we accept it through faith, but it must likewise be active faith. How do I express my active faith today? By hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and being baptized. Maybe this morning you want to do that. Maybe you say, I have heard and understood this wrongly my whole life. Today, I want to obey the Lord through faith and submit to obedience to the gospel, being baptized for the remission of my sins. We are ready to help you do that. Maybe you're here as a Christian. Maybe you have sin in your life. Maybe you need to publicly confess that. We would count it an honor to go to God and to pray for you this morning. Today, if you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, won't you come as together we stand and sing the invitation song?